Hello and welcome to the Tech Means Business podcast.
I'm Joe Green, and throughout this series of podcasts, I'll be talking to leading figures from the technology and business sectors about how they're approaching some of the most exciting and relevant aspects of their work, their interests, their passions, and their views on the future of all things technology.
Today, we're looking and focusing on cybersecurity. I'm delighted to be joined by Mariana Pereira. Mariana is Director at Cybersecurity Specialists, Darktrace. Mariana, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Joe. It's great to be here.
So, Mariana, over the last 3 or 4 years in particular, we've seen the threat landscape change for business quite significantly. What are, in your opinion, the biggest threats facing the business community in terms of cybersecurity today?
So we've seen a lot of different approaches that cyber attackers have taken during the years. And of course, generally, they will try to go for the weakest link. And often that is humans themselves, our colleagues and our employees, because we are so busy and so overwhelmed with constant communications that our inboxes are very quickly becoming one of the most prolific areas of attack. The attackers have found various sophisticated ways and less sophisticated ways, but what we're seeing really is the advance of very, very sophisticated emails that are going beyond phishing to be very, very good impersonations and tricking well-meaning employees into then taking inadvisable actions.
So of those inadvisable actions, what are we talking about here? Downloading files or visiting websites or clicking links? What kind of thing?
We see a vast range. So we have, of course, malicious malware that gets downloaded or a link that gets clicked on to then redirect to a download site. We also are starting to see emails that actually come through clean. They're text only, and they have sometimes a solicitation for a payment. And actually, one example was a spoofed CEO who an email was sent into her company, and it said something along the lines of, you know, I've had a fraud incident occur, so please change my bank details on records to the following, and simply text-based sort of bank detail information, which then the accounts department would have put in to make a new seemingly legitimate wire transfer. So we're really seeing a very, very large range of types of behaviors that they're trying to trigger. And of course, the better they're getting at impersonating, the less likely it is that we as humans alone are able to sort of spot the difference. And so I think that that's also an area where AI is a huge game changer and helps the defenders sort of regain the advantage.
Yes, the personalized nature of many of these attacks is really quite worrisome, I think. Are we thinking, though, that perhaps the bad actors out there are literally sat at their keyboards hand typing these messages to specific people? Or is there, as far as you're aware, a large element of automation to their processes?
So we've started seeing already out in the wild some first indication that attackers are starting to use machine learning and AI in their attack to sort of drop in, if you will, without implying conscientiousness, but dropping in malware that learns and adapts to the environment and learns sort of the patterns of communication between users. And of course, then the next step is to use that learning to then drive that fake email. But we have seen for many years already people that either spy on or overhear conversations or even hoard materials that can be found either on social networks or even in the dark web, that then they can use to mimic tone and mimic sort of the pattern of communication between two people. If it's, you know, referring to last night's game or, you know, maybe cute things that they've seen on Instagram, they can then build on those conversations so that the recipient really has a built-in trust and doesn't really think to question the authenticity of that communication or of that last email. And so that's a very, very dangerous kind of environment we're going into, especially as we think of compromised accounts. The email might actually be coming from a legitimate account where then the recipient trusts the sender information and then will act on the basis of that.
Yeah, the seeming legitimacy of some of these messages is really quite worrying. A bit of a confession personally here. I got an email a few days ago, actually, from my boss who was overseas. And in his emails, he was asking me to use the company credit card to go and buy, I think it was Google Play Store vouchers, scratch off the covering to reveal the code, take photos of those codes and send them to him back on the same email account, and that's because he was overseas and he wanted to buy gifts for some of his business contacts. Now, even though I'm meant to be some kind of seasoned professional in this particular instance, it probably took me 4 or 5 minutes, really, of thinking about how I was going to do what he was asking me to do before I then came to the realization that it was, of course, a scam.
No, absolutely. And in fact, because they are playing to our natural instincts to be helpful, as well as I'm then assuming that you've recognized the address was legitimately from your boss. And so for us humans, you know, even for us who are well-trained and well-versed on the risks that are out there, it becomes increasingly difficult for anyone to really see beyond what we're presented with on the screen. And that's, again, why we need AI to really help us discern what's real from what's fake.
Now, I should explain to listeners about how I came across Darktrace, that's Mariana's company, a while back. I was doing some research into an article about AI's use in various cybersecurity measures and came across their product, which is called Antigena. I think that's the way it's pronounced. Oh, thank you. So it's a product which seems, on the outside at least, to do something very simple. It examines east-west traffic, or internal traffic, if you like, in a network, and works out what is, I'm doing air quotes here, which clearly you might struggle to see, it determines what's normal behaviour inside the network in terms of the packets of data moving around. Now, obviously, that's really quite complex. These are often encrypted, but nevertheless, this is a platform that is learning, if you like, normal activity and therefore is able to flag up anything odd that's going on anywhere on the network. Now, Mariana, apart from that particular use of AI, where else do you see machine learning and cognitive processing being deployed in the next few years in the fight against cyber criminals?
Absolutely. So in the last 3 years, we've seen tremendous adoption of autonomous response technology, which for us, it's Darktrace Antigena. And it's not only able to respond, but also adapt its understanding of the threats as the threat changes over time. So it's very, really revolutionary in that regard. It's not just the traditional network. It's also applicable to essentially your entire, we call it the digital estate. So it's everything from cloud to email to IoT devices, and really anything that is connected and anything that a human might use to interact or communicate with other people or other businesses.
And of course, increasingly common in everyone's working lives these days is the cloud. Is there a danger, do you think, that just by using cloud services, we're somehow handing off the responsibility for cybersecurity to, you know, those great, powerful folks at AWS or Google Cloud or whichever one we're using that day?
Indeed, Joe, we've seen in one of the latest reports an attack that an attacker that pretended to be a WeTransfer link and had inserted itself into a conversation between two people, exactly leveraging sort of that trust, leveraging the trust into that third-party supplier. And this happened to be WeTransfer, but it could be absolutely any supplier. I myself receive many security update notifications from various providers. And of course, I question them before clicking on anything. So one of the things we're seeing with the increase of cloud services is that, of course, it expands the sort of the attack surface. And by attack surface, really what we mean is just different suppliers also, and as you said, you know, trusted suppliers with which to spoof from. And it's a challenge, and it's part of envisaging really cyber as not just a siloed task for the IT or the security team, but it's really also using technology to understand the holistic picture, to understand the full business. And that's really why you need an AI that can take this sort of platform approach, and it can go beyond the point solutions to see, you know, if something odd is happening in one particular cloud environment. More often than not, there's also something else happening somewhere else in the business that you'd want to put the two events together. And you really need AI to do that, because of course we are aware of the fact that there's a shortage of skills when it comes to cybersecurity, and people go to sleep. We don't all work on a 24/7 clock. And so the ability to sort of take these seemingly disparate bits of information, but understand that they are part of a bigger picture, that they might be an attack, is absolutely game changing.
Yeah, I think when the cloud services first started appearing, what, maybe 10 years ago or so now, I think it was perfectly all right, actually, just to say, well, you know, it is, we can abdicate our responsibility to the cloud providers. That's absolutely fine. But of course, you know, everyone uses the cloud now. Cloud is the new normal. And so therefore, to a certain extent, we really have to up our game somewhat, I think, certainly more than 5-10 years ago. And I'm very much aware at this point that I'm sounding really rather old.
Good question. So one of the things we want to be careful of is not to confuse the tools and sort of the tool versus the usage of the tool. And I think that there's a lot to be said about so much of the technology and the barriers to access technology that have come down that enable business growth and speed of business and doing business on a global scale, which are all very welcome advances. And we're talking also about companies that go beyond, and many of our customers will go way beyond the basic built-in features of security tools that come with these third-party cloud, which are very, generally very legitimate and very strong, and still need to consider, you know, the human element and how do we enable our companies, how do we enable our employees to work safely, because we are not perfect, and sometimes an insider threat might simply be an unwitting insider or somebody who didn't even realize that what they were doing was potentially open to be opening up a vulnerability in their companies.
Yeah, it's interesting there that you mention users and that human element. I think that's probably a point worth dwelling on. We need to bring up, I think, the idea of the insider threat and how that sometimes isn't actually malicious. It can be someone, you know, putting a few spreadsheets or an Excel doc or a Word doc or two onto a USB stick and walking out the door with it. They're not necessarily doing that in order to damage their ex-employer, but what they are doing is actually of quite significant threat. But even, of course, if it's down to people clicking on rogue links in emails or downloading malicious documents, is it not true that there is an enormous significance that needs to be placed on user training and user awareness of cybersecurity issues?
User education plays a vital role because cybersecurity really starts with a general understanding of what the threats are and how to minimize those. But we are also facing an attacker that is very well funded, very well motivated, and user training can only go up until a certain point, because when you're faced with, you know, a piece of communication or a piece of information, or in your case, a request from your boss to do something, there's only so much that we can do to train humans to recognize, you know, what is a legitimate request and what isn't. And we still have to embrace then the technologies that can sort of help us overcome and close that final gap. Because the attackers are using AI, it's time for the defenders to use it too.
Yeah, I think to a certain extent, it's a pity, really, that the term AI is often bandied about, really, and kind of slapped on every product under the sun these days. It's very much a buzz phrase, isn't it? And that, I think, is definitely to the detriment of products that do actually use forms of machine learning, especially in areas like cybersecurity.
The best thing to do with any vendor that is offering an AI technology or an AI-based technology is to test it. And that's test it in the real world and see what actions it takes and how it actually acts. And there are many different approaches to AI as well. So there are some AIs that will look for known patterns of behavior or known threats. And the idea being that if I can see it or identify it a second time, I can stop that second attack. But of course, it relies on a previous attack having succeeded so that I can then use it a second time as a marker. What Darktrace's approach has always been is to create an AI that is able to adapt and self-learn directly in the environment that it is presented with. That means that there isn't a training set of data of what good and bad look like. It simply learns normal. And with that, Antigena is then able to evolve its understanding of normal and evolve its response and take an autonomous response when confronted with something a bit different. And so these different types of machine learning and AI are very legitimate according to their different use cases. And in cybersecurity, there are many vendors out there who will have excellent products that stop known attacks from reoccurring. But the true challenge, I think, and the next challenge is going to be for businesses to stop never before seen attacks, things that we hadn't imagined or we hadn't written a rule for and we couldn't possibly anticipate.
Yes, I think there's a great deal of misunderstanding really about how AI works. And it's about, I don't know, I guess we can use Donald Rumsfeld in this particular instance. I know I always like to, about sort of 14, 15 minutes into every podcast, bring up old Donald. But really we're talking about known knowns and unknown knowns. And I think what Antigena seems to be doing, at least in my limited understanding, is it's using existing data, known data, in order to help find the anomalies, the unknown attacks. What artificial intelligence can't really do is either predict the future or see something about which it knows nothing about, i.e. a zero day or unknown attack. And I think that's a big misunderstanding that people have. Now, what I'd like to do is move on really and talk about how artificial intelligence can help us mitigate against attacks, because as we all know, it's a case of when attacks will happen rather than if they happen. So let's assume now that your company has been attacked, you have suffered some kind of cybersecurity incident. Are there ways in which artificial intelligence can help fix that problem?
So, Joe, an interesting story was actually a customer who was telling me that they fell victim, unfortunately, to some ransomware a few years ago, and they saw it come into their network and they saw it spread, and they were literally running down the corridor to try to outspeed the malware from spreading. And I think that these fast-moving, we call them machine speed attacks, really, is where an autonomous response and a near real-time response is game-changing, because the moment that something starts acting a bit anomalously, it still has a couple of steps to take. And you really need something almost, you know, like Antigena that steps in with its autonomous response in real time to stop the spread and buy the defenders time to catch up. And I sometimes think of it, you know, it's almost like an Olympics race where that malware is spreading through the company. You want that action to stop immediately. And then you want to give your security team time to evaluate whether or not this is an action that is actually an attack, or if it's something else altogether that they just need to sort of take an evaluation. On the other side of the spectrum, you know, we see also these very stealthy, very long-term attacks that are extraordinarily, these attackers are extraordinarily patient. They will bide their time, learn what the environment is that they're finding themselves in, and then potentially it might be days, if not months or even years, before they then take action. And the ability then to spot that action when it occurs, even if it's a long time after, is again where a AI system is really advantageous, because we're able to then put that action in context of the wider activity of the business.
Yeah, and of course that immediate response is something that malware authors are very much aware of, isn't it? And we hear quite a lot, for instance, about malicious attacks that will just penetrate a network by whatever means and then just sit on a hard disk or even in a computer's memory for sometimes, you know, days and days and days, even a couple of months, so that any particular sign of the malware entering the network is lost, and that payload, that malicious payload, isn't actually deployed for several days or weeks. And that's really something that attackers have learnt over time. It's worth probably mentioning here the difference, I think, between personalised attacks, which tend to be, you know, email derived or email based, phishing attacks, that kind of thing, and what you might call traditional attacks, i.e. attacks on the perimeter. You know, you have that idea, don't you, of the hooded hacker in a bedroom tapping away on his keyboard trying to get round firewalls and get round intrusion detection systems. If you were starting a cybersecurity company tomorrow, for instance, Mariana, would you concentrate at all, or would you even give any consideration to perimeter defence? Or is the onus now so much on personalised attacks that really that's the place to be looking to defend businesses?
So it's so difficult nowadays to draw an exact perimeter of what is exactly the confines of what is part of the business and what is not part of the business. And a lot of that has to do with the adoption of cloud technologies and devices that connect to your corporate network, but also as you're using these same devices across other connections. So, you know, to telephony as well as other people's Wi-Fis. And so the notion of perimeter, insofar that it can be defined, it is absolutely critical to leave the bad actors and the bad stuff out in whatever definition or whatever type of approach that you want to take. But it isn't sufficient exactly because that attack surface and even the businesses as a whole have grown so far beyond the traditional sense of what the four walls that enclose a company could be, you know, monitored. And much like physical security, we can't be checking absolutely every single thing that comes in and out of the front door because we don't have that anymore. But it's absolutely important to consider whether those communications, no matter where in the world or where in the business, across our suppliers, all of those should be understood from the context of this is part of my business and that is part of the thing that I'm trying to keep safe.
Yeah, so really we're not even talking about defending the perimeter or defending the people. And that's because the definition, the whole idea of what is a perimeter has changed so much over the last 10 or 5 years.
Yeah, I would even challenge it's different than 1 year ago. We are seeing such an increasing pace of innovation with devices and smart assistants that are making our lives easier, are making businesses more efficient. And with that efficiency drive and with the built-in trust that we give to these devices and the communications they give us, we need to be thinking about how to best enable the use of these tools, but also be aware of the risks that they present and then take steps to mitigate those risks.
Well, we are gradually running out of time today, unfortunately, but I think it's probably worth just circling back and touching a few things that we've covered today. Obviously, our listeners out there are going to be wanting to learn the best ways that they can protect their organisation and their business, and there are a few things that are worth reiterating. The first one and the main one is that attacks will happen and will be successful on your business and on your organisation. It's not a case of if they ever happen, it's a case of when they will happen. And that's very much an important thing always to bear in mind when talking about cybersecurity. The other things I think we've learned today is that our definition of perimeter from 5, 10, or as Mariana says, even 1 year ago, is very much different from the way it used to be. Perimeters now really refer to right out into the cloud as well as around internal networks. And I think the next thing as well is that we can stress over and over again user education, in that we need to educate our employees about the best way to conduct themselves online. And finally, again, just to touch on the Darktrace offering, you can start to deploy artificial intelligence in your cybersecurity arsenal, in your toolkit, if you like. And it may not necessarily cost an arm and a leg to do so.
No. So it's, you know how I said, the thing with AI is that people will make claims about their AI and their approach and what it can do. But really, what we always encourage anyone who's considering to deploy AI to do it in the real world. And Darktrace offers a free proof of value for 30 days. We will deploy Darktrace directly into your environment. It will learn, and within a week to 10 days, you will start seeing value from that AI as it recognizes and starts generating alerts that are pertinent to you and your unique digital ecosystem. Because we stand by our technology and we stand by our approach, and we invite people who would like to test that out to take us up on this, on our proof of value.
Yeah, as the world's most cynical commentator, always the first to start suspecting that any claims of machine learning are in fact bogus, it's pretty refreshing, I guess, to hear of a company who is willing to put its money, or rather lack of it, its free trial, on the table and prove its value in everyday working. So it only remains now for me to say thank you very much, Mariana Pereira from Darktrace. And I hope that you can join us again for the next time we talk about business and technology here on the Hybrid Tech Podcast. See you next time.